From the Walter H. Shorenstein Asia Pacific Research Center at Stanford University.
Hello, my name is Mike Breger, Communications Manager here at Shorenstein APARC. I'm here today talking with Dr. Soksampos Im, our Lee Kong Chen, NUS Stanford Fellow on Southeast Asia. Her research is focused on how authoritarian systems forge legitimacy. She will be giving a public talk on November 29th at 5 p.m. titled, How Welfare Policy Promotes Authoritarian Legitimacy, The Case of Cambodia. Be sure to register on our website at apark.fsi.stanford.edu. Dr. Im, it's a pleasure to have you here in the office today and speak with you about your research. First, tell me a little bit about your current research project.
Thank you, Mike, for extending the invite for me to share a little bit about my research here with APAC. So currently, I'm working on a book project provisionally entitled Authoritarian Resiliency and focusing on the politics of social protection policy in Cambodia. This project, I examine how the Cambodian ruler instrumentalized the social welfare provision to improve the image of its government and also while maintaining coercive capacity following a contested election in 2013 and therefore to strengthen their authoritarian regime. But more specifically, this study, this research, investigate the Cambodian government's rationale for rapidly reforming the country's welfare program within the last 10 years through a detailed study of the implementation of the National Social Protection Policy Framework that they introduced in 2016, known as the Identification of Poor Households, the Health Equity Scheme, and the Social Security Fund's pension to coverage, which they expanded to also cover not only the civil servant and military, but also to cover private sector employees and informal sector. Informal sector workers. So by examining the impacts of the and the gaps of the social assistance and the social security programs since they introduce, basically the impact on the beneficiary, it provides evidence to analyze how the beneficiary is feelings or reacting towards how the government is changing, and also how that contributed to improving the Cambodian government's image and also their legitimacy.
That's fascinating and important research. How did you become interested in social protection in authoritarian states?
So actually, I have received this question a lot, how I became interested in. I started my PhD program in 2016, which is the year when the long-ruling Cambodian government, Cambodian People's Party, which is the party that have ruled Cambodia for the last 40 years, introduced the welfare reform, the largest, and also introducing the largest social assistance program in Cambodia, and also to basically providing like an unconditional cash transfer to the poor and vulnerables. And Cambodia never really had a formal social assistance or welfare program at all until about close to this past 10 years. But I mean, obviously Cambodia was in conflict for 2 decades, and then it was recovering from the war and conflict. So this was something that kind of extraordinary for many ordinary Cambodians. And even myself as a Cambodian, I never expected the Cambodian government would be able to provide such thing to the people. So it got me intrigued for me to witness that large welfare reform in a developing country like Cambodia. So, but at the same time, I can't help but wonder how a developing country like Cambodia that's still depending largely on foreign capitals to boost economic growth, like through foreign investment or loans, would be able to fund such a large expenditure program. So and what motivates the longest ruler Hun Sen to rapidly shift his strategies like this from a coercive leader to now a more soft authoritarian leader. So that's when, so it's all these questions that like motivated me to become interested in this research. And that's when I set out to examine the implication of the social protection policy in relation to the regime politics in Cambodia.
That makes your research so much more timely.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit about the background of the Cambodian social protection policy? And to what extent would you say is it effective in actually addressing poverty?
So Cambodia had some form of welfare program back in the 60s after we received independence from France during the King Sihanouk ruling. But obviously the government was overthrown by the Khmer Rouge and everything was completely dismantled. So from 1970 up until 1993, when peace was restored in Cambodia and Cambodian government began doing the reform, then they were able to provide some social security pension, but mainly only for the government officials. And then because Cambodia was still, there was politics was still pretty contentious in the country in the 90s, with the coup happened in 1997, there was no real reform for welfare. So again, long story short, it was not until very recently, over the last 10 years, when Cambodian government introduced that, as I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So since they introduced that social assistance program under the social protection policy and expanded the social security coverage, it has contributed to address poverty in Cambodia to a certain degree. Cambodian poverty rate has dropped significantly from over 30%. I forgot the actual, but had dropped by two-thirds from 2009 to 2019. So that's a significant drop. Wow. If I remember correctly, 34% to 17%.
Wow.
But then COVID-19 exacerbated the poverty. Mm-hmm. People lost jobs and income and fell back into poverty. So the poverty rate went back up to over 20%. So anyway, Cambodia is a country with only 16 million population. We have over one third of the population living in poverty. But the social system that they introduced, the identification of poor household program, only covers about 3 million of the 7 million poor population, according to the data. And so there's still a large number of poor people remaining outside of the state welfare program. So at a deeper level, it has contributed to help poor people from falling into further poverty, but it has not helped poor people emerging out of poverty yet, because the welfare program is still it's not a universal. It's for the country. It's a selective welfare program. It's very modest. Only household only gets about $25 to $75 a month, so that's nothing for them to really make a difference or change their household economic condition. So it's only a complementary help them fighting against like food insecurity, but not so much. They cannot rely on that alone. They have to find other way to make income. So to sum it up, it has contributed to fighting extreme poverty, but the actual poverty is still there. So that's how I see it based on my research. And also the reason being is the welfare program that they have now, one is that it's targeted, so that only certain individual can qualify for it based on like a pre-checklist criteria, etc. And also there's a lot of corruption within the implementation process of this welfare program that leave many people still outside of assistance, even though it's small. And also resource limitations, as I mentioned earlier, Cambodian government still depend largely on foreign capital, so they cannot prioritize a huge budget for that. And plus the COVID-19, the impact of COVID-19. So these are the main reasons.
Sounds like limited effectiveness with many challenges in the future to continued implementation. Well, I'm sure we will hear more about the development of this program and the political ramifications during your talk on November 29th.
I hope to elaborate more during my presentation.
Another question about your time here at APARC. Mm-hmm. Has your time at APARC as the Lee Kong Chan Stanford NUS Fellow aided your research project?
The Lee Kong Chan NUS Stanford Fellowship has provided me not only financial support during this fall quarter of 23, but all and next quarter, spring, but it also has provided me the time and space and resources that allow me to fully focus on my project and dedicated the time to doing more reading, writings, and researching, and leave me time to also working on other small writing projects as well. So the fellowship has provided me, both the financial and the resource.
It's great to have the bandwidth to work on some of those projects. Are there any individuals, faculty, students, or otherwise, who you've connected with during your time at APARC?
Yes, I have connected with a few fellows and faculty here at APARC. I've attended several roundtables and talk, both online and in person. I've connected with Gita Wuryuan, the other visiting scholar from Indonesia, and other postdoc fellow, Norman also. Actually, we're discussing on planning a collaborative project together. Even after I left APAC, we're thinking of a topic, doing like a comparative study on dynastic politics in Southeast Asia.
That's fantastic.
That's the fruit of my time here.
Yeah, that's so one far. Of the benefits of a community of scholars the connections we make and carry on outside of time here at APARC.
Yeah.
Have you spent any time in the library or archives here on campus? And have you discovered anything surprising?
I have spent time at the Green Library, getting some resources, and also spent time doing some reading there too. But since I study contemporary politics, most of the resources actually easily accessible online, even through the library. So I only go to library once in a while.
Sure.
If I need to, but I have spent time there. So
And you're preparing to travel to Singapore for the second part of your fellowship. What would you like to accomplish there? Are there any special collections at NUS or projects that you look forward to working on?
When I'm in Singapore, I look forward to spending time, continue writing my book, and also using the resources that Singapore and US provide and their affiliate institutions, such as the IC Yusof Institute and the IRI, Asia Research Institute. They are the hubs of Southeast Asian studies and comparative politics, and also look forward to networking with familiar scholars that I've heard of the name or I've met before there. So those are my plans when I'm in Singapore.
After the fellowship, what's on the horizon for you? What's next?
After this fellowship, obviously I'm not going to finish book in 6 months. So this is a long project. I'm hoping to finish my book within next year and also land a permanent position somewhere, either in an academic institution or at a think tank. So that's what I foresee myself within the next few years.
Well, all of us here at APARC wish you luck.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Im, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. And for all of those listening, be sure to go to our website and register for her talk on November 29th at 5 p.m., How Welfare Policy Promotes Authoritarian Legitimacy, the Case of Cambodia. Thanks for listening.